this first letter of Job as Christians is to love one another. We see this love, the great example, in what Jesus did for us when he laid down his life for us. And we act on this knowledge when we lay down our lives for one another. Sacrificial love of Jesus is more than a nice idea or a noble concept. It is, in fact, a pattern of behavior that we are to display in action. John asks, how can the love of God be in anyone who has material possessions and sees his brother or sister in need, but has no pity for them? The short answer? It doesn't. God's love lives in those who need and respond with help. Eugene Peterson captured the concreteness of this everyday love and assistance when he wrote The Message. His version of verse 18 is, "My dear children, let's not just talk about love, practice real love. This is the only way we know we're living truly, living in God's reality, making it real, putting it into practice, taking action. That's what John is talking about when he challenges us to love one another. So why is it so hard for us to focus on this job? Well, most of us find it easier to argue with opponents than to love them. Most of us are more comfortable taking a stand on abortion than taking care of a woman with a problem pregnancy. Most of us would rather write a check to a homeless shelter than spend an evening providing job counseling to a person on the streets. Most of us find it so much simpler to define our religious duties in terms of attending church and making offerings rather than doing the complicated and challenging work of feeding the hungry and welcoming strangers and clothing the naked and caring for the sick, visiting the imprisoned and spreading the gospel. Somehow it's easier to put our energy into arguing about politics, same-gender marriage, homelessness, and our current culture. These topics give us the comfort of that black and white view of the one in which there are good guys and bad guys, angels and demons, winners and losers. But Jesus was never about crushing his opponents. Instead, he challenges us by saying, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. If we are going to take our job seriously, we are going to have to take that difficult path of putting love into action and making it real. And it's much harder to love one another than it is to fight one another. The key to rising to this challenge is to realize that love comes from God, not from human beings. John tells us that we know love because Jesus laid down for us. Love means readiness to do anything for other people. It means saying no to one's own life so that somebody else may live. Years ago, I took a spiritual gifts inventory. You may have taken one before. There's dozens online nowadays. I've taken many, probably 10. Over the last 30 years or so. On their inventory, I scored highest in a category that I had never even thought about as a spiritual gift. And actually, I still have a little bit of challenge thinking about this. The category was martyrdom. It was my highest score. I went back through the questions to see where that score had come from. I realized that the questions did not ask about the things one might have to endure in the process of martyrdom. So yes, I am willing to give up my life for the Lord. But I can honestly tell you that I am really not interested in suffering for the Lord. But I would if I had to. Last year, I met a young man who had stopped attending worship with his family. We had a great conversation about how much he loved Jesus. He read his Bible daily and could quote scripture even better than I could. It's not all that hard. Toward the end of the chat, I asked him, "So, young man, would you give anything to show your love for Jesus?" He said, "Yes, ma'am, anything." "Really? Anything?" "Yes, ma'am, I'd give my life for Jesus." So I asked him, "Will you get up on Sunday mornings to worship him?" It's one thing to say how much we love Jesus. It is truth to put that love into action. John says, "This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us." This what? This action. Action is how we know that we belong to the truth. And action shows that we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. Anybody else here have a heart that tries to condemn them? Yeah, I know mine does. There are times that I am filled with self-doubt. There are times that I think to myself, "Lois Beth," and yes, it is my mother's voice I hear it in, "Lois Beth, how could you do that? You know it was wrong. Lois Beth, you've been talking about doing X, Y, Z, and it's still not done. Lois Beth, you're not doing enough for God." Yet here we have John's reassurance. For God is greater than our hearts, and God knows everything. It reminds me of the scripture from the Gospel of John in chapter 14, where Jesus comforts his disciples, saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." It seems to me that when we put our love into action, our hearts can rest in God's presence. If we succeed in loving one another, the credit actually belongs to God, not to us. Any love we show is a sign and a signal that God's love is working through us. In a sense, this lets us off the hook. We can say to critics, "Hey, don't blame me, blame God." We're not required to figure out precise and perfect positions on all the tough issues of the day, as long as we love one another. Jesus doesn't say that we will be blessed by God once we achieve a political victory or articulate a flawless moral position. No, he says that we will receive from God whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. This is his commandment: to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Our world is in desperate need of churches that put love into action and make it real. There are people all around us who are searching desperately for a community that actually practices what it preaches. 150 years ago, Christian philosopher Søren Kierkegaard made the point that Jesus was looking for followers, not admirers. Jesus wanted people who would walk with him, do his work, and serve in his name. Jesus wants true disciples. One of Kierkegaard's parables told of a man who was walking down a city street when he saw a big sign in the window that said, "Pants pressed here." Delighted to see the sign, Kierkegaard went home and gathered up all of his wrinkled laundry. He carried it into the shop and plunked it on the counter. "What are you doing?" the shopkeeper demanded. "I brought my clothes here to be pressed," said the man. "Just like your sign said." "Oh, you've got it all wrong," the owner said. "We don't actually do that here. We're in the business of making signs." "We don't do these things," he was saying. "We just talk about them." And that, said Kierkegaard, is often the problem in the church. We advertise ourselves as a place that is showing Christ's love and doing Christ's work. But when people show up looking for real love and real Christian action, they just don't see it. "No, no, we don't really love people here. We just talk about loving people here." As believers in the name of God's Son, Jesus, we are to do what Jesus wants us to do. This means helping a brother or sister in need and loving one another in truth and in action. It means focusing on activities that really show the love of God to people who might be feeling quite unloved and unlovable. We members of the body of Christ need to reconnect with the valuable gifts that we can offer to this world around us. If we are going to advertise God's love, let us actually practice God's love. It's time to return to the job we have as Christians, to believe in Jesus Christ and to love one another. And we can do it, and we do a good job of it. John assures us those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit God gave us. Alleluia. Amen.